John, the 5th chapter, the 14th verse. First John chapter number 5, that's page number 902 in the Pew Bible. First John chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. And you could put everything that we've said before, when John's been saying, we know, how we know that we belong unto Him, how we know that we're His. Lastly, in verse number 13, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse number 14, again, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we're in Him. That, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, let me just interject this. Why aren't we praying? Why aren't we praying more? And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it, or shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So we're fast approaching the end of this first epistle, aren't we? We're not going to look at all those verses this morning, just verses 14 and 15, the Lord willing. Gives me another week to tackle that. I know you were listening, weren't you? You know, you see the problem in the text, or the thing that confronts us, a sin unto death. You know, what's all that about? Well, you know, we'll dive into that, the Lord willing, next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask Brother Doug, if you would, to pray for us and for the service. Yes. Amen. You may be seated. So, to say that God hears us, may you think, imagine you telling someone, God hears me. And that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? God hears me. I mean, the God of heaven, the God who made heaven and earth, the God who is above all. For me to say, God hears me. God takes notice of my prayer. God hears me. That's something. And it would be a bold statement if we had no grounds for making it. But we do have grounds for making it in Christ. But in saying that God hears us, we're saying that God doesn't hear everybody, aren't we? Well, there has to be an us and a them. If there's an us, there is a them. He heareth us. So it's important to know, well, who's the us? And am I a part of the us? And that's the thing, like I said before, this is what John's been going over. I mean, if we've been paying attention, if we've been applying the things that John's been saying, when he says, and we know that we know him, if this is so in our lives, then we can put ourselves in that category of the us here. We know that He heareth us. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't know and hear everything that's ever said, because He does. I mean, there's not a thing that is said. There's not a thing that is... I mean, it's not just the saying. I mean, somebody could come up to you. I could come up to Sister Louise and I could say something that I didn't really mean, but it sounded sincere. And to her, it sounded sincere. And she thought that I meant it. And as far as she knows, I did. But guess what? If I didn't mean it, God knows. Not only does He hear the words that we say, but He knows the thoughts and the intentions behind the things that we say. So we know that God hears and knows everything. He knows what's behind everything that is said. But this is different than that. I mean, God hears everything, yes. But that's not what John's saying. John's saying He hears us. And he's talking about God hearing us in the sense that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. In other words, I'm speaking about having God's ear. Not everybody has my ear. Not everybody has your ear. But there are people that when they come unto you, they have your ear. I mean, there is something that you have, they have invested in you, or you have invested in them. You know, the brethren, they have your ear. You know, your children, they have your ear. My wife, I hope I have her ear. I know that I do. But we have God's ear. God who spoke the worlds into existence, who upholds all things by the word of His power, God who rules and reigns over all, does not just hear us. It's not just noise. And I don't know if you can, I can hear that speaker back there when I'm quiet. You hear it? It's just noise. It's kind of like white noise. They call it background noise, white noise, whatever. They have a term for it, you know. But God hears us, and it's not just noise to Him. He hears and takes and pays attention to what we're saying unto Him, what we're asking of Him. He takes notice, in other words, of what we are asking, and He answers us. What does verse number 14 says there? What does it say? This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to what? His will. We ask anything according to His will, what does He do? He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. In other words, He hears and He answers. He hears and He answers us. Martin Lloyd-Jones entitled these verses, Prayer with Confidence. That's a good title. I mean, because you read the verses there, that's what's about prayer. And certainly it does instill confidence, you know, within the person that's reading this. God's saying, I'm hearing what you're saying unto me, and I'm going to answer you. You know, that does instill confidence. A good title to communicate the confidence towards God that we who have passed these tests that John has presented unto us, that hereby we know that we know Him, and that we are of Him, if this is so, it's a good title to communicate the confidence that we have towards God when we pray, when we seek His face, when we come before Him to present our petitions, to make our requests known unto Him. This word confidence translates also in Scripture into this word, boldness. Boldness. And has to do with assurance. It communicates a certainty and a reliance in God through Christ. You know, reading these verses made me think of the hymn that we sing, Arise, My Soul, Arise. And this particular part of the hymn was what I was thinking of. My God is reconciled, His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me as His child, I can no longer fear. And this is particularly the part, with confidence I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father, cry. You know, with confidence I draw nigh. And that's what He's saying unto us. This is the confidence that we have in Him. It's in Christ that we come before Him. So if we're not certain that we'll be heard, then why pray? I mean, really. If you're not certain that you're going to be heard by Him, what's the point in even pray? It's just kind of going through the motions, right? But consider, brethren, the confidence that you have in God. You do realize there are people that have none, right? You do understand there are some people that have no confidence in God whatsoever. I mean, none. They don't have confidence that there is a God. And if they do have confidence that there is a God, then they don't have confidence that God would hear them. And still others that don't possess a full assurance or a boldness to come and ask. Do you think that's where God wants you as His child? Do you think He wants you kind of like in the shadows back here saying, "Oh, I just don't know if I should ask that. Would God really do that for me? I just don't think that if I ask that God would do that." He might do that for somebody else, but not for me. You're His child. If you are indeed His, He's willing to do as much for you as anybody else. And everyone else that belongs unto Him. You know, He doesn't look upon one, you know, with more favor than the other. Yeah. Any and all who ask that are His. You have His ear. You're His child. We should have. We ought to have boldness. We ought to have assurance. We ought to have confidence to come before Him. Reverently. I'm not saying come before Him irreverently and demand, say, "You must do this for me." No. That's not the spirit that we're of. That's not the spirit we've been given by God. But if we don't have that confidence, well, guess what? I have good news for you. All you have to do is ask that you be given that confidence. Guess what? God wants you to have that confidence. He's not going to withhold from you that confidence. He wants you to have that confidence. He wants you to come unto Him. He tells us as much in Scripture over and over again. Come unto me. Ask of me. You like wisdom? Ask. It will be given unto you. God's for you. He's not against you if you're His. He's for you, not against you. We need to have confidence. Like Ephesians 3:12 talks about, speaking of Christ, when the verse here says, "In whom?" Ephesians 3:12 says, "In whom we have boldness." Who's the whom? It's Christ. "In whom we have boldness and access." And where did we get this access to God? It came through Christ. "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence." That sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, to be able to come before God with boldness and have access with confidence. Because like I said, there's a lot of people that don't have that. A lot of people that would like to have that. "Boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him," that is Christ. That word boldness there is the same word that's translated in our text in verse number 14, confidence. That we would have boldness and access with confidence. Again, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, you may have been thinking about this earlier whenever we brought up the subject of the message this morning. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness," same word, that we have confidence in our text. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near." Listen, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. So we're drawing near to God in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. But the point there is that I'm trying to make and bring out of this text is this confidence towards God, this boldness that we have towards Him to be able to. I mean, you think about that. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the story of Esther. Anybody, you know, familiar with that? Yes, a little familiar with that? I mean, if the king didn't do what, and you came into his presence, hold out the scepter, it meant death. Well, here's Christ that's held out, you know, before us. We have confidence and boldness to come before Him in Christ. It's like that scepter, you know. God always has that scepter before us and holds forth that scepter, which is Christ, which is just saying this: we have access. We have bold access. How bold it would be of you to approach the king unless you were summoned. Now, we don't know much about that because we have presidents. We don't have kings. You know. But how bold it would have been for you to approach the king. Well, speaking of that, it would be bold for you to approach the president. You think about all the Secret Service men around him. You think you might be stopped before you got near him? Sure you would. Well, guess what? That barrier that would be there You know, if we were outside of Christ, in Christ is gone. I mean, it would be like having access to Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Any given moment. Wherever you are. You know, if I don't have my cell phone, I can't call and call home, you know. But guess what? I don't need any other device. I mean, I can approach God at any time, wherever I am, whatever my circumstances are. Well, what about when I've sinned? Well, yeah, you can approach Him even then. You know, we come before Him, we confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. So, no matter what the circumstances are, we can come before Him with boldness. Confidence that He will hear us and He will answer us. Now, that boldness, again, is just the sense in which we have access. That's what we're talking about there. We have access. I'm not saying that we boldly, you know, barge in. It's not that sort of a boldness. No, it's a boldness that says, my Father loves me. It's a boldness that says, my Father will hear me. It's a boldness that says, I can approach my Father. I can come unto Him and I can approach Him and He will accept me. And that's in Christ. That's in Christ. I have a confidence that I can come before Him. So we're called to ask. We're called to ask. John's written unto us that we might know that we have eternal life in Christ and that we have this confidence that God hears us, that we can approach Him and that He hears us. We're called to ask. What does James say? What does James say unto us? You have not because what? You ask not. So, why isn't your faith any stronger than it is this morning? Why aren't you further along in your walk than you are this morning? Why don't you have some of the things that you see some others around you that have, and you look at their faith and say, man, I wish my faith was like that. Well, you have not because you ask not. Is it that God's not willing to give that unto you? Or have you bought into the thing that people say, don't pray for patience, you know? God will send tribulation if you want. Is patience a good thing? Sure it is. Do I have to be afraid to ask for patience? We've talked about that before, haven't we? We've mentioned that. Yeah. We don't have to be afraid to ask God of anything. He's only ever going to do what's good and right. He's never going to do anything wrong. He's a God that's too right to do any wrong. So, we confidently can come before Him and ask anything. And we don't have to wonder, well, you know, He gave that, you know, unto Brother Bob Woodruff, would He give it unto me? Or He gave that unto Mac Tomlinson, would He give it unto me? Well, sure He would. Sure He would. What if, you know, you listen to some of these messages these preachers preach, and you think, well, you know, I could never understand the things that they're able to expound. Well, sure He could. You know? The Lord gives wisdom. You know, the Bible's not chained to a pulpit like it was in the early Catholic Church where the only person that could ever read it unto you was the priest. You couldn't be trusted with it. You might misinterpret it. But God has given it unto you. And He's given you unto you His Spirit to give you understanding. We do not have to fear. We're called to ask Him. We don't have because we don't ask. John 15, verse 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Do you want to be fruitful? I mean, do you want your life to be fruitful that it might glorify God? There's something you can ask for. You have to wonder about the things that you need to ask for. What can I ask for? What can I not ask for? It does say to ask according to His will. Do you think it's God's will that you be fruitful in your Christian walk? Sure it is. There's not a shortage of things to pray about, but yet we find ourselves not praying so often. That you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, the Lord says, He may give it you. So, we're called to ask. What do we see? You know, some of what claims to be Christian. doing? Claiming. Yeah, I'm going to claim this for myself. Well, that's not what the Scripture says. We're called to ask. We're not called to demand or to claim, but to ask. I think about my kids. They come to me and say, Dad, can I have? You know, that's the sort of sense in which we're talking about. We're coming before our Heavenly Father as a child saying, Father, can I have? Father, will you give unto me? Father, will you bestow upon me? May I have this? If my kids need something, they're not, you know, they're not abashed or ashamed to ask. You know, it's in the cabinet there. Well, can I have it? It's a little bit different when they go over to their grandparents' house. You know, even though they tell them, you know, whatever. I've heard them say it to Andrew and Rebecca. Yeah, just whatever you need, it's there. Just get it. You don't even have to ask. But yet they're still a little reserved. You know, it's not their house. Even though they told them not to be. But this is what God's telling us. Ask. Ask. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. That's what He's saying unto us. He's called us to ask of Him. Again, humbly petitioning, not demanding. You wouldn't put up with that from your own kids. If my kids walk up to me and say, I demand that you give me that. No, I don't think so. You're going to have to change your tone. You're going to have to change your approach a little bit here. That's not, things don't work that way. But asking of our Heavenly Father, who has promised to answer, give unto us the petitions that we ask of Him. Now, asking doesn't force God to do anything. He's only going to do what's within His will to do. We're not going to force God to do anything. Just remember, though, that you are His child, and He's willing to do anything for you that's according to His will. That's something that ought to give us hope. It is a mystery, though, isn't it? God's sovereign. Everything works according to His will, and yet He prays, He calls us to pray and ask of Him. It is a mystery. We won't always have the things that we will, but God will always do what He wills. You know, we don't always get what we will, but God always will perform what His will is, in other words. James 4:2 says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. How do we ask amiss? Not according to the will of God. I'm not saying that's something you just tack onto your prayer. We ought to seek to know what God's will is. How do we know that? Well, it's in His Word. Brother Doug mentioned part of it when he was praying earlier. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Christ didn't come. I got an email from Brother Mac this morning. He sent a quote. Did you see that, Brother Doug? Yeah. James Rowell? Yeah. And he was talking about this very thing. I put it on I won't go into reading all that now, but basically it said this, that Christ came not just to pay for your sins, not just to remove the sin debt, but in other words, that you might be sanctified. That sin should not have dominion over you. You know, that's what it said in short. Well, we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our own lusts. Why do you want what you want, in other words? I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. And everything that I do, I'm called. Whether I eat or I drink or whatsoever I do, I'm called to do it to the glory of God. Why do you want what you want? I want it to glorify God. If I want it to glorify God, then that's according to His will too. That He would be glorified in our lives. So is it to glorify God or gratify yourself? You ever heard people say prayer changes things? Does it change God? You know what it changes? It mostly changes us. It mostly changes us. How many times I've come to the Lord and asked for a certain thing because I was in some sort of a circumstance and things didn't work out the way that I'd asked. But they absolutely worked out the way that God had designed them to work out. But in the end, I understood this wasn't what the Lord was doing here. This wasn't what He was performing here. This is what He desired here, what I was asking for. But I see what He did, and what He does is good, and what He does is right. So when we ask God for something, we're always going to get an answer, aren't we? It's going to be yes, no, or wait. You know, I like that it's going to be yes or no, but sometimes it's yes and wait. Think about Paul praying about the thorn, you know, in his flesh. He said he besought the Lord three times. And yet the Lord said unto him, "My grace is sufficient for you. This is good for you." Paul wanted it gone, but God said, "No, it needs to stay. This is good for you. You need this, lest you become exalted, you know, and you become unprofitable. You become exalted in your own mind. You become unprofitable to everybody around you. You must remain humble. You know, this is needful for you. This is has a sanctifying influence in your life. It doesn't need to be removed. It needs to stay." Is it to glorify God or gratify ourselves? Gratifying myself, take it away. Glorifying God, it remains. So where does my prayer need to go from that point? Okay, I'm going to come over here because I know it doesn't need to be removed. God says it needs to stay. So I'm going to come over to this place and I'm going to start praying this way. Lord, give me grace to sustain me through this. And may this thing that you sent unto me accomplish the work that you sent it for. Well, it's going to do that. You know, but I'm praying in the will of God now. That this thing accomplished. My will has lined up with God's will. It's changed me. It's changed me. Some people have a problem with prayer because they say, if God is sovereign, why should I pray? Well, God doesn't say here, don't bother to ask. I've worked everything out to the detail. Every I is dotted. Every T is crossed. Don't bother. That's not what God says. He says, ask. He says, ask. He tells us to ask. Is God sovereign? Yes. Then why pray? Because He's called me to, if nothing else. If I can say nothing else, I can say that because He's called me to. It's according to His will for me to pray. We are praying that His will be done above ours, over ours. Think about this thing of prayer. The Lord Himself prayed. Even in the garden, He knew what He was about to face. And yet He said, "Father, be possible. Let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So, we are to ask, and we are to ask often. Continually. I mean, everything that presents itself to you, we ought to be asking. We ought to be seeking. That we may know the will of God. We have need to ask for our daily needs every day. We're not telling God anything when we go to Him in prayer that He doesn't already know. He knows what we have need of. And yet, He calls us to ask of Him. We need what? Daily bread. The Lord knows we need that. We know we need that. And we know where it comes from. Doesn't come from the grocery store. It comes from God. I mean, if He didn't bless and that sun didn't shine out there and He didn't send the rain, He didn't send the seasons and He didn't cause the seed to grow, it wouldn't be there on the grocery store shelf, would it? We have need to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. We need daily grace and we need daily to ask for it. The disciples, you remember, they asked the Lord, "Teach us to pray." Luke chapter 11. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 11. Verse number 2. They said, "Teach us to pray," in verse number 1. And the Lord says in verse number 2, He said unto them, "When you pray." So what's the content of our prayer? What are the things we should be asking for, Lord? How should we be praying according to Your will? So He says in verse number 2, when you pray, say, Our Father. And there's the first thing we've been talking about. You're a child. He's your Father. You have access. Come unto Him. And when you pray, approach Him this way. Address Him this way. Father. I'd feel funny if my kids walked up to me and said, Russell, you know, He's your Heavenly Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. You see that? Hallowed be Thy name. You ever give much thought to that? Hallowed be Thy name. In other words, let's reverse the order of the words. May Your name be hallowed. Do you think it's God's will that His name be hallowed? That He be glorified? That He be honored? Yes. Well, that's something that we're called to pray for. And not just think about it in the broad sense of the earth, but think about it in the sense of yourself. God, Your name be hallowed in me. You be glorified in me. May You be glorified in me. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. We talked about verse number 3. Give us this day our daily bread. Or give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. We need to be praying for these things. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. We need to be asking, let the Lord help us forgive those people who do things to us, who offend us, cross us. How about the next part? Lead us not into temptation. Keep us from temptation. Deliver us from evil. And it's not in this chapter here, or in this gospel here, but for Thine is the power and the glory, you know, forever. He who has determined the ends has determined the means to those ends, and those means include prayer. In other words, we're called to pray. We're called to pray. Prayer is asking that God's will be done in our lives. Much of that that's mentioned there, if you spend some time thinking about it, meditating upon it, you know, these are things that need to be true in my life and be done in my life. If we would have real confidence in prayer, then we must know that we are accepted by God. He accepts me in Christ and willingly listens, hears, and answers me. I would caution you that sin will rob you of that confidence. Sin will rob you, or seek to rob you of that boldness in God. But remember that our acceptance before God is not based upon what we've done or have not done, but upon what Christ has done. There's your access. There's your confidence to come before Him. Even if I've committed this sin that I feel like has distanced me from God, I come in Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In other words, His ear is open to our prayer. We're welcome at the throne. We're welcome at the throne of grace. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's not that you're going to toil in prayer and there's not going to be any harvest. It availeth much. One person says, we may lay it down as a firm principle of Christianity that no large growth in holiness was ever gained by anyone who did not take time to be often and long alone with God in prayer. I would agree with that statement. That's good. But yet we often pray little or foolishly. That's where Romans 8:26-27 comes in for me. Because I find myself in that same place at times. Paul says in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What's the will of God? In general, it's not my will, but thine be done. God's calling to us and saying, ask. Ask these things that are according to my will. Ask these things that are according to the promises that I've given unto you in my word. It shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Think about David. After he had sinned with Bathsheba, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. These are things that God is more than willing to do. Luke 11:13. How much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? A fullness of the Spirit. How much time are we spending asking? How much are we asking? How much are we waiting confidently to receive? How much would our faith be increased if we lived there continually, regularly? How wicked is it for us not to ask when God bids us to do so? He says unto us, ask. As I was thinking about that sort of a thought there, I considered Solomon in 1 Kings. And the Lord appears unto him in a dream. And he tells him, he says, ask of me. Ask of me. Ask what I shall give thee. And it's as the Lord saying that unto you and me. Ask what I shall give thee. And what Solomon asked for? He asked for wisdom. And the Lord gave it unto him, said, there'll be none so wise as you. You didn't ask for riches, you asked for wisdom. But guess what? I'm going to give you riches also. You didn't ask for the life of your enemies, but I'm going to give you them also. What was Solomon asking for when he asked for wisdom? And he was asking for wisdom so that he may lead the people that God had given him to lead. What was he asking for? God's will. That's what he was asking for. That he was asking for was the will of God, that he would have wisdom to lead the people that he was now king over. So prayer doesn't need to be an uncertain thing. I mean, there's plenty in the Word of God that we can find, that it's according to His will and according to the promises that He's declared that He will give unto us, that we can pray for and confidently know that we're going to receive. We know that He heareth us, and we're told those things that we ought to be asking for. Our prayers offered according to His will, we can confidently expect to receive. We can rise from our knees believing that those things will be given unto us, that we will be granted the petitions that we've asked of Him. So what should this do? This should bolster our confidence to come before God and ask of Him these things. We will know nothing of these things until we effectually pray. Guess what? Prayerlessness, unbelief. That's what it equates. We're not independent beings. We're not autonomous. We don't operate every day just upon the resources that we have and what we are. We need. And we need from God daily. And we ought to find ourselves asking. He's called us to be, in other words, ask of me. He's called you to be dependent upon Him. I'm glad to be dependent upon God. He's called you to be dependent upon Him. You are not independent of Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who, what? Diligently seek Him, who ask of Him. Ask, but take care of how you ask. Lest instead of being confident, you become discouraged. Because we can ask for the wrong things. We're called to ask according to His will. May God grant you the assurance to take, as the hymn says, take it to the Lord. in prayer. Let's stand. Can't remember if that hymn Arise, My Soul Arise is in the main hymn book or if it's in the, I think it's in the Little Red Book, isn't it? Let me see if this is it. There's an entry for it here under 223. Yeah, it's in the red one. Okay, number 14 in the red, after we sing this hymn, ask Brother Dean if he would pray for us and return thanks for the meal we're about to share together in the fellowship. Number 14.